Oh, yeah. Oh, that's the stuff.
I bet he can't hear me. Hold the phone. Hold on. Hold.
We're a one-man show. Check, check. Hi, everybody. Okay, Tyler. A one-man operation here. Hi. Welcome to the After Disaster. I'm Anderson. That is Ty Night Ties. I'm calling him because he's in New York. Mike Carano sitting on the freeway as we speak.
Hey,
and,
everybody.
Yeah. Tyler, turn yourself up.
Clean myself up?
Turn yourself up.
I can't clean myself up. Please ignore my wife yelling at the baseball game.
Wow, so we got the drunken whites via New York and the NYC, where they've been for the last 6 months, I think. How long have you been there?
Almost 2 weeks.
Oh, God, I don't have my phone. Things just keep getting worse. They keep getting...
I'm pretty certain I've been at least probably on the same block where you smoked crack.
Oh, so you're still looking. I don't know why you're so intrigued. Do you want to smoke some?
Anderson, I found the spot.
You think so? Was it a gay...
I'm 100% sure.
Was it a gay porn house?
I never mentioned gay, but it was an adult store.
Yeah, there's a row of adult stores down there where there's a lot of like mutual masturbation, which is awkward.
No, that was before they cleaned up Times Square. Times Square is not as seedy as it used to be.
Dude, I don't know when you think this happened. It wasn't like the mid-70s. This was like 2005, 2004.
No, it wasn't the 70s.
It was like maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago at the most.
You smoked crack in post 9/11 New York?
Yeah.
That's terrible. You're a terrible American.
Anderson, I'm pretty sure it was right next to where we're staying at the State Ridge Hotel. I hope people know where we are.
Oh, wow. I don't know why you're doing that. You shouldn't be giving out coordinates. It's like where Heisenberg's money is. You shouldn't be doing that.
People are going to find us.
Oh, my God. We have so many things. We have grape nuts and we have pizza. Like,
and you have... Very little booze left, from the sounds of it.
Yes, there is very little booze left.
As in, you drank it all. So I have much to talk about. You have any New York stories? Mike Carano will come in here. He'll be in a very bad mood momentarily. I should also mention that before me sits a vast array of Halloween decorations, Tyler, made of wood.
Why? Oh, I saw the photos. I've yet to actually listen to that episode, but I'm guessing our newest thing is we're going to sell Halloween decorations.
That's absolutely the case, yes.
I'm absolutely on board.
Okay, so the markers have been purchased. The knickknacks, the wooden knickknacks, are in my possession, and decoration begins tonight. These should be up for the purchase of by our listeners by October 1st, because you know what? The listeners, I think that they've proved it with the mugs. They want a piece of the After Disaster, And even if you don't have kids, we could be like your kids where we make shitty art in school and you can display it proudly in your home. And,
yeah, absolutely.
There are things, there are mini coffins, wooden jack-o'-lanterns, little trinkets you can hang. One says beware. Another one says spooky. I think we're going to have to black out that Y, so it just says spook for fun.
Wow.
And, you know, these are going to be decorations you could pass down to your children. I mean, these are going to be some good knickknacks. So,
can I make one?
No.
Can you what one, my miss?
I want to make one.
Yeah, of course. You have to not be in New York. It's the problem. So this is the last night we will be doing this show via bi-coastal. I don't like it.
We'll be back together. We'll be back together next Wednesday Eve.
Thursday.
Mm-hmm. No, Wednesday.
Whatever. You'll be here for the show next week. Wait.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, you won't be here for the show. Will you be here for the show?
Yeah.
Why won't I be back?
Because
you're coming on Friday.
Oh, okay. So, I have things to launch into as far as things that have happened since I last spoke with you guys, unless you guys got something to bring to the table. I mean, as soon as Carano's in here, it's going to be a whirlwind of negativity anyways, right?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't had any sort of, like, ground-shaking experiences in New York, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
Have we?
No crack smoking.
You know, the homeless people, I gotta tell you, they know their place. You know, they sit around, they beg, but they don't come up to you. They don't ask you for stuff.
Some serious drug addicts.
So I gotta give a shout out to the homeless people of New York.
Give them time. Like, it's still
not
warm.
Like the entitled homeless of Los Angeles.
Wait for it to get a little colder out there. I think they might be more in your face. They might be more desperate.
It's true. But yeah. Even in the balmiest of afternoons, you're going to have like 14 guys come up to you in Santa Monica and be like, let me get a quarter for the bus. Like, you are not taking the bus anywhere, sir.
What's happening?
Oh, no. Let me take a quarter for the bus. I can go to the other side of town where they're richer and they give me more money. Hey, listen.
I always say, I just got out of jail and I need to get a bus to Pomona.
Open?
Why
and
do I always go to Pomona?
Honest. This is the part of the show where we ask you anything and you will answer both the most openly and honestly.
Are we doing open and honest right now?
I am with you and the missus. When did you guys start drinking New York time? Right now it's 11:30 New York time. And how much have you had?
It is. And by the way, our good friend Taylor Williamson, who has been on our program, just came in second on America's Got Talent.
I don't know who that is. Who is Taylor Robinson?
Wow. Great.
Taylor's the greatest.
He came in second? He lost out on $1 million to a little Japanese dancing man.
Ooh.
You know what? I think that's for the better.
Yeah, usually whoever...
Mike
wins.
Here.
Yeah, Mike Corona, everybody. Here's where the applause would be played if Naitai wasn't Naitai. We got the whites on, Mike.
Fuck L.A.
Wow. See, what I tell you?
Both took me an hour
tornado
and
of negativity.
An hour and 7 minutes to get
okay, well, feel better about yourself while you draw on that coffin that we're going to make available to the listeners.
Tyler, did you guys get to hang out with Taylor?
No, because, well, we went to AGT last night, but obviously he was busy doing things. And
don't call it AGT, please.
He was busy losing to a small Asian man.
Tonight he'll be busy drowning his sorrows in.
I think not winning the million is better than winning it, because he's going to get. If he won, people would. I don't know.
That'd be so terrible to have $1 million in his bank account.
No, if he won, there would be like animosity and stuff. But since he just got his name out there and got a huge fan base, I think he can more than make up for that with road dates.
Taylor's gonna be in about like 1,300 McDonald's commercials probably by the end of this year.
Oh, not when they find out he's a pedophile.
Oh wow, not sure why we're starting this rumor.
This is exciting, right?
What is?
That he just got that huge, great break.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And the good thing is he's a real comic. He's not like some other people.
The thing he did last night where they made all the people that were the finalists, the six finals, had to redo their first performance and make it bigger and better. And for a comedian to have to come out and tell the jokes you've already told is impossible. And he actually did a creative way of coming out and doing it, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
But anyways, enough about that. Let's talk about... Anderson's week.
Okay, I don't want to be an asshole here, but I feel like
Anderson has interesting things happen to him.
I feel like we've talked enough about Taylor on this show. I feel like it's time to move on. Is that them hanging up?
Yeah.
All right, I've begun drawing on the gifts. I shouldn't call them gifts when they're for sale, but I drew an AD on one of the coffins. You're gonna like the coffins, Tai Tai. You gotta like all the decorations. It's good stuff.
I love coffins.
But see, it's important that your timing in being in New York is terrible, because we need to make these available sooner than later so people can display them proudly during this holiday season.
Well, I will put the finishing touches on them, or you can leave me a couple to make of my own.
No. We all have to have our DNA smeared on these.
We don't have to ship them like October 20th. We have plenty of time.
Here's the real question: is how much friggin' time is your wife spending with you in New York, and how much is it imposing on the good times you could be having as a single? Wait, you're not single. Sorry. Yeah, no, I mean, how long is Lauren staying out there? What the heck?
The entire time.
She's been out here almost the entire time.
All right, back to open and honest. How many people have you converted during your mission?
Zero.
You're
wasting
failing.
This church's money out there?
The church has not sent me out here.
That's a story, but we're doing open and honest, so why don't you tell the listeners really what's going on?
I'm out here for the million second quiz.
What? I
tweet in the middle of the night about Ryan Seacrest and the events going on in the Hourglass in the middle of Hell's Kitchen, New York City.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Can I tell you about it?
Yeah, I mean, if there's someone paying you to give updates on that, why don't you give us the inside scoop there? Because I'm sure that our listeners would love to hear about Ryan Seacrest in the middle of the night in Times Square. What's going on?
I don't know what it's pretty much.
Pretty much.
What you see is what
but
it is.
I don't see anything, so I don't
watch anything either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait,
so
what is it?
Is he converting people? Then are you giving him tips on how to convert? I'm confused.
Really, not exactly what the show's about.
All right. You guys ready? Ready to hear some shit? I swear to God, I don't use hyperbole when I tell the story, all right? Yeah?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, it involves the little girl who came to my door.
Oh, no.
Yeah, she's back in my life.
She's back.
Rotund little girl came to my door 3-4 months ago at like 8:15 in the morning on a Sunday. She knocked on the door, then ran away, and then she came back for a second knock, but I was already at the peephole. And I caught her in the act, red-handed, fat-handed, and yelled at her, and it was very awkward. And she
invited you over.
Her alibi or her reasoning for coming to my door when I asked her point blank, "Why are you knocking on my door on Sunday morning?" She said, "I wanted to invite you over." It was almost like a question.
Wait, she did it a second time?
No, I'm recapping. So since then, I've seen her and her mother and her mentally challenged bigger sister numerous times. They're my neighbors. They're all sweet, especially the mentally challenged one because she's quiet.
She has to be sweet. Genetically, she's sweet.
Mm-hmm. And took the dogs out for a walk. I've been getting into walking the three dogs, even though it's really fun the first mile and the last mile and a half. Not fun. I hate them all.
Are you just dragging them, or are they just getting all twisted around your leg?
Because they continue to stop, both the boys as well as the little girl dog, continue to stop and pee when they're long done. They're finished. They got nothing left in the tank. You know what I mean? But they're still squatting. They're still lifting the legs, and they're still tangling up my feet, and it's just too much. It's too much.
Dogs have that, like, terrible hair that, like, grows off the tip of their dode. That's pretty terrible.
I don't know why we're talking about that.
I don't know what, never heard it called a dode.
Neither have I. A dode.
They have, like, a wiener. They have, like, a little wiener hair.
Mike is making the his coffin look very nice.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never seen a wiener hair in a dog, and I've sucked many a dog's dick.
Wow. So I geared them all up the other night to take them out to further walk, and Stanley's got his new saddle on, which looks pretty good. Put the saddle on him that Mike and I got in Ghost in Calico Ghost
Town. Saddles are kind of great.
I like the saddle.
A small capuchin monkey to ride the saddle on Stanley.
I need to put, yeah, you know what?
Throw around your monkey lingo with us.
Listen,
everyone buy our Halloween decorations so that we can buy a capuchin monkey.
Listener,
what's a capuchin monkey? A tiny monkey?
It must be if it's going to fit on the back of Stanley. Mike, let's do the math. Oh, God. Having lunch with my dad the other day, he asked, because he's out of it, he asked me point blank, is my dad still alive? And I am such an asshole. I look at him, I say, Dad, you're 82. Do the math.
And he's like, so he's 102?
Wait, your dad asked if his dad was still alive?
Yeah, my dad's a little out of it if you haven't been paying attention to the pool.
No. That's really bad.
I go out front. I got. This is after I explained to him that the woman sitting next to him was his wife named Sherry. He thought I was joking. Yeah. It's all right. He had a good lunch. We had a good time. A couple laughs.
He had a good lunch.
It's very depressing when you actually think about it. All right, so I'm out front with the three dogs, right? And the family, my neighbors, are out front. The mom, very nice. She says hello. It's one of those things where, like, I put my head down and I want to try and just go, but it's just open space. There's, like, nowhere to hide. There's nothing else to pretend like I'm looking at. You know what I mean? It's just open space in an open, quiet neighborhood. So it's just me and them. So she immediately makes contact, the mother does, and says hello, and I say hi.
Hello. And
the mentally challenged older sister, who's about 12, 13, she's just kind of standing with a smile on her face. I said, hey, how are you? I said, what are you guys up to tonight? And I said, this is it. And then the little rotund girl on her bike, she's about 9 years old. She and I have history, as you remember from the story I just told just now about coming up to my door. She acts like she's never met me in her life, and she has tons of questions about the dogs. Are they friendly? Are they puppies? Are they new? How many do you have? And she's trying to, like, pet them, but it's really awkward, and the dogs can kind of sense there's something not right about her, so they're kind of shying away. And then she gets on her bike, and I'm walking down the street, and I say, all right, bye, guys. And at least I have a purpose. I'm out there walking the dogs, right? So I'm towards the end of the street, and I notice that the little rotund girl is still behind me, you know, her mom and her sister, perspective-wise, are getting smaller and smaller in the distance behind us. And she's continuing to ride her bike right behind me.
Dear. Are you doing the thing where you're just, like, looking ahead and pretending like you don't know that she's behind you?
Yes, I am, until she gives me the flat tire on the foot, and it hurts. Back of my shoe comes off.
Yeah. She drove the bike into your foot.
Twice. And I say, ow. I say, it was just awkward and quiet, and I say, ow. Then she stumbles a little bit, and then she keeps riding. And not 30 seconds later, she does it again, like hits the back of my leg. And I say, ow, again.
But you couldn't speed up because you were with the dogs.
I was going as fast as I could, believe me.
Didn't you hear the baseball cards in her tires?
What is that, guys? What is that?
What is what?
Why would she be riding her bike into my ass?
Why wouldn't the parents keep a better?
Because mom's got her hands full with mentally challenged number one back there. God, I sound like an asshole. Yeah, and I was just kind of like momentarily babysitting on the street, mentally challenged number two.
Maybe she's such a smart little kid that she knows that she has a mentally challenged older sister, and so no one's going to give her shit. So she just like does little things like ride into people's ankles and give them flat tires.
I don't know if that's the case. I'm just walking down the street thinking, how could this get worse? That looks really good. Mike just did
scratch marks.
A really good.
It's not really good, but
it is really good. Now we have 90 more to go.
Oh,
I'm done.
No, we have plenty of pieces.
We have three for each listener.
The hardest part is the stickers. The goddamn stickers are ruining everything. All right, Mike.
Yeah.
Can you talk and draw? Is that possible?
Probably not. But
Mike's wearing a Death Valley T-shirt. I should let everyone know. Tyler, what's the missus wearing over there?
Nothing.
None of your
business. Hi.
Oh, let me give a quick fun New York tip for anyone who's like me and hasn't been to the Big Apple before.
Tyler.
What?
Don't say it like that.
What's the tip?
What?
Go ahead.
All right. Don't pay to go on some little cruise that takes you around the Empire State Building. You get on the Staten Island Ferry. Empire State Building. Yeah. Statue of Liberty. Staten Island Ferry, you can catch right there on the edge of like where Wall Street ends into the ocean.
Right.
And you can ride that sucker all the way to Staten Island.
Plus, they got a little baseball field once you get there to Staten Island, and it's a beautiful, beautiful park.
Minor league team right there. You can be sucking down $4 Fosters all the way on your
Tyler,
trip.
Tyler, you can't do that if you're me with my wife. Not allowed. You can't do that if you're Mike Carano. So you're making both of us very thirsty and angry.
Well,
you don't have to drink. I didn't drink.
It was fantastic, though.
That is a lie, Lauren.
A free cruise around the Hudson River and past Old Sweet Liberty.
Lauren, is this the first time you've been to New York?
I was sober, Anderson. Thank you very much.
Love you, Lauren.
Is this the first time you've been there, Lauren?
Both of us.
So you guys are having like a little husband-wife adventure?
Well, us and Greg.
Oh, Greg will fucking make your trip better.
Greg. Wow.
He will fucking
Greg will fucking.
Better. He will make your trip better.
Yeah, if I was you, Ty,
not
I'd
better,
be...
not better, but much more New York-y.
Yeah, we've established that every week. If I was you, Tyler, I'd be all over the Greg thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know what? It's okay. We've had quite a delightful time.
How long, Lauren, how long have you been out there and how long are you staying?
I've been here since the 3rd. Tyler's been here since the 1st, and we're both leaving on the 20th.
Okay, it just occurred to me that Tyler's got a room, so I was, because I thought, for some reason, I thought you were out there in a separate hotel room.
I was like,
how much money are you guys spending on this trip so you guys can hang out as a couple, which I think is a great idea, actually.
We spent almost zero. Her flight was paid for, and almost all the expenses are on my company card. Hello!
Nice.
Tyler, don't make that sound again either. I don't know if I like drunk in New York, Tyler.
Oh, yeah. Are you drunk?
Anderson, okay.
I am.
This was a weird
are you on speakerphone?
Weird coincidence. I'm checking Vines, right? Mm-hmm. And Jillian Jacobs of Community, also known as Britta, for those uninformed, she filmed herself singing about a dollar pizza shop on the corner across the street from the Port Authority bus terminal in New York, which is literally a baseball throw away from where I'm staying. So we ran over there.
You mean a softball
and
throw away.
I filmed myself singing along to her Vine, and then I posted it, and she commented on it. So, yeah.
Not the best.
I'm basically famous.
I don't understand anything that you just said. You posted it. You sang along to her Vine. Oh, you Vined while holding a phone in your hand?
She made a Vine where she was singing about this pizza place that is one block from where I'm staying. So I went over there and Vined myself singing along with her Vine. And then she commented on it.
That's
so
nice. Yeah, I like her. I told her that her name is pronounced wrong. She has the same name as my wife. My wife goes by Jillian, and she goes by Gillian. And you know what old Gillian Jacobs told me? Anderson? She said, Anderson, you're probably right, because my parents aren't that bright, and they liked the name Jillian because they saw it in books.
Hope they're not listeners.
She was 100% serious. And she goes, I think you're right. I think that I've been mispronouncing my name my entire life, but that's my name now. So suck it.
I'm like, all right.
And then she goes, by the way, Anderson is pronounced fuckface.
Real quick, Anderson, have you seen our boys' new show on Fox, Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
JLC's got a show?
No.
Oh,
Andy Samberg.
By the way, quick aside here. JLC, I don't know if you listen anymore. The love affair, the bloom has fallen off the rose, and I understand that. However, I would like you to know that out of the goodness of my heart, I have not stopped following you as much as I want to, but I don't look at Vine at all anymore. So you've ruined Vine for me because you do, and I'm not exaggerating when I say about 9 minutes worth of Vines a day, which is a lot of Vines.
How many of those minutes are interesting?
Especially as a reality show of Vines that are just 6 minutes.
Yeah, I can't. So I don't look at Vine anymore. I used to be like, I'd stop in 2-3 times a day. No more. I'm done. You killed it.
You could just unfollow him on a Vine, and then when you want a dose of the boy, you could just go search JLC.
It's true. I know, but I'm going to break his heart if
He was tweeting the other day, huge shout out, and then parentheses, inside joke to you and I. Uh-huh. So he's going back in the catalog of After Disasters.
Well, when he hears this, he needs to understand that I'm even though it's much worse to be talking about this, broadcasting the fact that the only reason why I'm following him is because I don't want to hurt him, and I would love to unfollow him, and I can't stand his Vines to the point that I don't even look at Vine anymore. Yeah,
I think that's much worse than just unfollowing him.
I guess so, yeah. I guess you're right. All right, I have a fun little story, and then I got nothing left as far as my phone has to tell me.
Oh, wait, was that the end of your story, getting flat tires from the girl?
Huh? What?
Getting flat tires from the little girl on the bike. Was that the end? She didn't do anything
else? Then I just kept walking, and it was one of those things, and I had the same kind of sick feeling that I had in my stomach because when I got out of jail and those two gangsters tried to start shit with me, like I just kept walking hoping that it would just go away, and my eyes were closed and I was walking with the dogs head down just hoping that she would leave me alone. I felt like I was being picked on. I really did.
You're a 28 year old man being scared of a little girl.
You were scared of the fact that the parents are going to turn, the mom's going to turn.
I was afraid of myself turning around going, what the fuck.
Yeah, yeah.
I was afraid of my own rage.
You got to just tell her stay away,
right in front of her mom and her mentally challenged sister. Hey, would you do me a favor and just leave me the fuck alone, little girl? Please, thanks, love you. Mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't put the love you part.
Yeah, you should try that. You should have vined that actually.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very interesting week last Thursday at the post show, and that is the Loveline show.
What happened?
It's rare that such a group of people are all brought together in one room for separate purposes, but there is a movie that was up for best foreign language film a couple years ago called A Separation, which I saw. It's an Iranian film, and it's all about a woman trying to get out of Iran. Her husband is very good. It was a very, very good movie. It was very touching and a good inside look at what Iran can be like, as far as I can tell. That director, Oscar, is his name. He requested to come by Loveline and observe as research for his next film, which is about talk radio.
So
I thought it was cool, yeah, because I knew A Separation. I'm like, hey, this guy's the real deal. I haven't seen any of his other movies, but I saw A Separation.
But it's cool having film people hanging out in here.
Exactly, yeah. So I was talking to his handler throughout the week, and long story short, we picked a day, and that was last Thursday, and he was coming in with some people, French people, I later found out, who were possible financiers for his movie, who were kind of following him around as he researches. And it's
financiers.
And it's crazy how far out he, once you're an established filmmaker, you can say, hey, I kind of have an idea. And
it's nothing's been sketched out.
Nothing.
And people are ready to hand over the checkbook.
He was very forthcoming about his storyline and what he has so far with me as we were talking back and forth. And he was asking me questions like point blank, like, what would you say if a caller called in and said this? And his English was very sparse, much better than my Iranian, Farsi or whatever. But
when did you lean over and go, listen, buddy, I'll do anything in your film to get the fuck out of this job?
Anne was very producer Hannah Loveline. She was very concerned about the setup, and she was being kind of. And I was like, because I know the movie A Separation well enough, and I know his name. I said, yeah, it's actually really cool, and it's good because he's the real deal. But then I saw that they were set up to come in on September 11th.
Ooh.
And then I started getting really paranoid and thinking, like, is he doing like a hidden documentary? Like, this is what Americans talk about on September 11th, and it's just Mike Catherwood going, and then I fucked his ass. Where's Rudy? You know what I mean? Which would be bad.
Did that happen?
No, he came in the 12th, so it was the day after. Oh. So it made me feel a little bit better.
Did he still have, like, sparkles from the party on his clothes?
You literally should have just told him as the after his Astros love line. That's what you should have done.
But what they ended up coming in earlier was this is a little bit of a plug here too. Is Sex with Emily is a podcast that I now kind of semi officially work on. And it's with Emily Morse, who's on Loveline every Thursday. And her show, guys, is the filthiest thing I've ever seen or heard or listened to. The filthiest piece of audio you could find. And the episode that she was doing that night, that old Iranian Oscar, who's like, he's like a very well-respected filmmaker, and he has a people around him who...
The Iranian Werner Herzog.
Kind of. Imagine that. Kind of. Yeah. So... he's in there, and the show has been going, the Emily Morse, the Sex with Emily show has been going on for about a half hour when they arrive, and I keep it real low. So I got it in my headphones, but they can't hear anything that's going on, thank God, because
he's not doing a film about making your jizz taste better.
Nina Hartley is the guest, who's an old porn star. I don't know if you know the name.
Yes, she is. I do know her, and I do know the name.
Pain in the ass.
I bet.
Big pain in the ass. So she's one of these ladies, so ask you a question. As you're answering it, like you're... like not even a sentence into your answer, and she just starts talking about something
else. She considers herself to be like an expert.
Well, yeah, she was expertising all night long on the Sex with Emily show, and it was fucking filthy. I mean, she was talking about fisting assholes when at the moment that Oscar asked me to turn it up so he could hear a little bit of Sex with Emily. I'm like, yeah, you don't want to hear.
Oh, I'm glad you said this. That.
And then he goes, and then his handler says, yes, he would like to hear it. He had an interpreter there. He had the two financiers.
Did you explain to him, though, this is a filthy sex show?
Yeah. Yes. What just happened, Tyler? Are you okay?
The interpreter had to explain what was happening.
So I didn't. Yeah, he kind of did.
Anderson just sees the guy making a fist and, like, putting it through his tight fingers.
He's not deaf, Mike.
No, but he doesn't understand. That's
right.
True.
I think the guy knows the words for fist.
I don't know, man. They might not have words fisting in Iranian.
Oh, I bet they do.
Is it Farsi that Iranians speak? God damn it, I'm stupid.
They might speak Farsi.
I think we're all stupid.
I do like that you just said they might not have fisting in Iran. Like they it's some kind of an American.
It's outlawed. It's been outlawed.
Yeah, good old USA, Uncle Sam.
It's been outlawed.
Yeah. Uncle Sam.
We need to do a Kickstarter to bring fisting to Iran.
Fisting to Iran.
So I turn it up, I creep it up ever so slowly, and it's, you know, I know I've used the word awkward numerous times on this particular episode already, but it was all kinds of awkward. And she just kept saying, you just got to get it in there and ease it in and then back and forth. And, you know, like, you got to caress the asshole. You really have to just, like, caress the walls. And
well, I have a question. When does the good time start once you get the fist in the asshole?
It was bad times.
When you're getting paid money for it, I guess.
So then if that wasn't enough...
Fisting is slightly more anti-women than anal sex.
Some girls like it.
You know what? You know why they... I have to say that I can't imagine somebody wants a fist in their butthole.
Why did you break your arm then?
That was vag.
Oh. Oh, you mean the butt. I see. Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I saw on a porn site the other day, Tyler and Lauren? You guys could like this. It was an ad for a live webcams, girls, and it said... crush a webcam's soul, a webcam girl's soul for $1. Mm. And it was a picture of a girl crying. And it's like, why would anyone be drawn to that ad?
They gotta hire real actors for that one.
What? Well spent.
Do you want to know what ad popped up on a porn site that I opened up last night? That
Joseph name is Jason Levitt. Is on our podcast.
Yes, one of our guests' movie, which is
it looks so good,
which might be fantastic. But a regular movie ad came up on a porn site.
I saw Tony Danza from that film on Jimmy Fallon tonight. I was at the live taping. Very excited.
Tyler steeped in his NBC-ness right now. Steeped.
I yelled out at Jimmy during the monologue, and I got shushed and yelled at by security. okay.
During a commercial, you did.
No, during his monologue.
Dude, what did you do? Tell us more.
So, did you guys see that? Did you see what happened on Wheel of Fortune yesterday?
No, we're not 65 years old.
I didn't know about.
Well, I'm not.
Tonight, but a guy, you know how they have the $1 million like sliver in between the two bankrupts on the wheel.
Yeah.
What color is it?
He lands on the $1 million thing, so he gets the little thing. So then, if he ends up solving the puzzle, he wins whatever he's pulled, right? He guesses a letter, and he only needs basically one letter, so he just solves it because he knows what the word is. And the phrase is supposed to be corner curio cabinet, right? Like the little thing you put trinkets in. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I'd like to solve. And Pastor's just like, all right, here you go, for like $1 million. And the dude horribly mispronounces it because he's so fucking nervous. He's like, concurring cabinet. And there's this long silence, and you just hear, and Patrick says, just like, I'm sorry. And then the next guy solves it and wins like $8,000. And the guy lost out on $1 million.
So he's like the Taylor Williamson of whatever show that is.
I guess so. So that happened. And then Jimmy was trying to read his punchline about it, and he started screwing it up. So that was the ironic part. Mm-hmm. So he was like laughing because he couldn't pronounce the cue card anymore. And then I yelled out, you can do it, Jimmy. And then
what?
Like, oh, that's great. He's like, my dad's here. It's so exciting when my dad comes out to cheer me on at my shows.
Have you guys had a family discussion about whether or not, like, being out there, has it inspired you to consider even ever thinking about moving to New York?
Who's the family? Just
like,
the
was
tour?
There a moment when you and Lauren were in each other's arms and you went, I think we could live here?
All the moments we've been in each other's arms. What do you mean? Has there been
no, but I mean, do you guys, is it something that even crossed your mind? Because it never crossed my mind when I was there.
No. New York would be an amazing city if you were young and single and, like, either, yeah, just out of college and living with, like, 14 people.
I don't think that's, no, I think it would be an amazing place if you had tons of money.
Yeah.
At any time.
Isn't that true anywhere?
No. New York especially, because
you have to have a lot of money, or you got to be really poor, but, like, you don't care that you're poor and you're living with, like, a lot of people, so you can, like, kind of eke out a living. But I was actually just thinking about today when I was walking again through, like, a dirty sidewalk that someone had pissed on, and the allure of the fact that it's, like, a city where people live kind of started to wear off on me, where I realized, like, oh, my God, like, there's no yards. There's no just fucking yards anywhere.
Yeah. Well, the cool thing is, though, at 2 in the morning, you can wake up, take a waltz down any street, and find something to eat.
No, that's great. I mean, like, it's an awesome city to visit. Like, it's amazing. Like,
you can do that in L.A. too, Mike.
All the time, and there's people walking everywhere, and, like, transportation is super easy and convenient. Cheers, like, all that is awesome. But at some point, you get really claustrophobic. You can't get away from anybody.
Do you know how long these decorations are going to take?
Yeah.
Hours.
Because I've done my one thing. What I liked about New York is I like the excitement and the energy of the city and just the craziness and the havoc going on outside. And then right behind a door, like on Park Avenue, is basically like a 10-bedroom house with an indoor pool and stuff. So you're standing there. You have complete safety and serenity and security on one side. And the other side, you have just life happening at a crazy rate. And I dig being out in that aspect of the planet and then walking behind a secure door. And you're in your giant living room sitting next to your fireplace, safe.
You kind of do that in LA.
No, I like that. I mean, obviously that requires tens to hundreds of millions of dollars, but I like that.
Let me get that phone number, Mike.
That one's done. That one's done.
That one's not fair.
That one's done, right? It's done. Yeah, it's cool. Totally. We've done three things so far out of, like, I don't know, 40.
I wish we just had cans of paint to dip it in.
Well, that would kind of take out the charm of it. All right, so I'm not done with the Iranian filmmaker night story. So we had Nina Hartley, Iranian filmmaker Oscar, and Emily Morris is in there trying to get a word in edgewise, which is very difficult with his no wonder she's a porn star. It's like, guys can't hang around her unless her dick's – oh, that was horrible. But it's kind of true. I mean, she can't shut up. She can't. She can't stop talking. But she's really, really smart. But she's one of these, I grew up in Berkeley. I'm a feminist. I've always been a feminist. Yeah. Long before feminists were feminists. And
what? 1600s?
She rubs you the wrong way, for sure. But really super smart. I bet she's a great read. Like, her book is probably amazing. But so Oscar's
probably
listening.
Probably not.
I bet it's decent.
Eh, probably not. She's a porn star. Probably not that interesting.
She likes Stanley a lot.
Okay, give me that. All right, she's good.
Yeah. So he's listening, and you can tell he's off put. There's no laughing. There's just silence in the room when I turn it up, and all you can hear is the asshole massaging part. It was really uncomfortable. And then
he hits on Nina Hartley.
Our guest that night, just to make things even more surreal, more like at the end of a Tim Burton movie with all the cast of characters not, you know, really flowing or mixing mm-hmm. together properly.
One Tim Burton movie.
Attack of Mars.
Big Fish.
No. Mars Attacks. The end when they had like Jim Brown and the showgirl and they were like running away. Yeah. Anyways, Uncle Creepy, MMA fighter Uncle Creepy is our guest. And for those of you who don't know, look him up. Hilarious guest. Apparently he's a good fighter too. Yeah. He's about 5'5", 5'4 and a half, 5'5". And he's got a giant Gouda mustache. And that's like a Raleigh Fingers mustache mm-hmm. with the curly Q.
And
it sounds like you said Uncle Creepy.
I did. I said Uncle Creepy. Ian McCall. Ian McCall. Ian McCall's his name. And his name's Uncle Creepy. So Uncle Creepy comes sauntering in. And the, amidst Oscar, the Iranian filmmaker, Nina Hartley, and now we have Uncle Creepy. And it was strange, to say the least.
No one's going to buy this show.
Yeah, people are going to buy it. Because they want to have after disaster in their life.
Make a Vine of what you're making so people can get a little taste.
Oh, that's a good point. First Vine in years. Thanks to the death of Vine. Via JLC.
Did you download the new operating system?
I don't know. I don't care.
Takes a long time.
iOS is lame.
Really?
Is it really?
I don't even have an Apple device, so I can't. Well, actually, I have.
Oh, that's just jealousy talking.
My jailbroken, so I can't update it.
Who jailbroke what? Wait, hold on. You can't have that. Okay, you're gonna be Lauren. You excited? You're gonna see what the trinkets that we're working on soon. So we're about to Vine this shit. You guys can watch it.
Yeah, if you post it on Vine, I can see it like right now.
This is the worst episode we've ever done, right? Mike, you missed the first part.
I've heard, guys, we've done 200 and I think this is 4. We've definitely done worse than this. Lauren confirms she's heard way worse. So
thanks, Lauren.
That's encouraging.
There's something about talking to someone who's drunk and in New York that makes me just so envious.
I don't notice that she's drunk.
That's just because you always talk to her when she's like this.
I don't know why that was so funny. All right, lots of work to do. All right, here we go.
I have news, guys. I have news. Unless anyone else has a story. Otherwise, I'll interject with mine.
What is it?
Wow, great. Clearly, you're interested.
Yeah, go with the news.
What is it?
Literally Vined already. That's amazing. Mike, that's an awesome. This is sweet. I would buy this if I had money. Mike Carano is a zombie?
Would you buy the other creepy one? It wasn't supposed to be me.
The one that you're in, Mike, is awesome. By the way, why have you been posting like sexy teen throb photos of yourself?
I know why.
That's funny you would say that because
you're posting me on Facebook with photos of yourself when you're like 16.
The wife showed me a picture of Mike up there. He's about 15 or 16, shirt off. She just gives me this look like this
the
is your friend.
The Morrison one is amazing.
I ran that by somebody. I showed it to somebody, a female friend, and she goes, "You have to put that on Instagram." I'm like, "Nope." And then I sat on it, and finally I uploaded it, and I had the sickest feeling driving to San Diego that I did that, and I felt like a chick who takes a picture of herself in the mirror in a bikini and tags it with, "I'm so fat," you know, just waiting for 400 dudes.
Dude, it doesn't count if it's a selfie from 60 years ago.
Yeah. That, you know, that picture was from over 30 years ago.
60.
Crazy, right?
From the 50s, right?
Ah,
I wish my body still was hairless like that.
What are we talking about?
I do. I liked it better that way.
Mm-hmm. Stop.
So did my neighbor.
Oh God! What?
What neighbor?
He would rub me down with oil, and then he would buy me BMX stuff.
BMX?
What?
No, I wish I still had that body.
He's joking.
I wasn't just joking. I was lying. I didn't have any neighbors. We lived in a fucking
cult. Tell me about the cult, Mike.
The cult?
No, I'm kidding. I was joking. Good. Really good.
The buying you BMX thing has made it sound really real.
I know, because I was I've been having like flashbacks to when I was a kid when my life revolved around having a motocross bike. That's all I wanted to do was ride my bike around. Then it evolved into skateboards. Eventually, it was always transportation, and I like cars now. So I don't know what's next.
All right. So, anyways, I went out to dinner with Lauren.
Transportation.
And I was checking my email, and I had an email address to the after disaster. I was like, let's see what a fan sent.
I had anal address to the after disaster. Is what I heard.
Here's my notes for the show tonight: anal, fisting, decorate children's Halloween items.
They're not children's; they're just things, right?
Yeah,
get it.
These are cool how they laser cut this stuff.
All right, go ahead. So I'm sorry, Ty.
So I have an email address to the after disaster. Mm-hmm. I was like, let's see what the fan wants.
Listener.
I opened up, and it's called Getty Images After Disaster, some number. I'm like, oh no, what is this? And it's this whole thing about, like, you have been using a Getty Images logo on your website without our permission and you haven't paid for it or licensed it first. So my first thought is, God damn it, Scott, you fucking asshole. You and your free website that we have nothing to do with getting us in trouble. So I'm checking it all. They're like, we've been trying to contact you for months, and now we've forwarded your information to this collection agency. So then I was doing all this research, and like half the people online were like, oh, just ignore it. It's a shakedown thing. And then half the people were like, nope, they're going to keep coming after you, so you should just settle with them.
Thanks for letting us know this is happening. This legal action's taking place, and all of a sudden, go ahead.
Like, we're not spending $900 on a photo of a wave, which literally I've never seen a photo of a wave on our website. So I kept digging, and then finally,
dude, it's other after disaster, right?
I found the letters that they'd been trying to send us. They attached those in a PDF, and the legal department to which they had addressed them to was based in North Carolina, so I searched the address, and it was, lo and behold, that after disaster cleaning service.
Yeah.
Commercials that we've played on our show are getting sued for $900.
Oh, you know what we should do is we should put a big wave on our website, though, just for a minute. Just a taunt.
No, we should.
Just a taunt.
Not
we should. We should absolutely do that.
Hey, did you already talk about this? I just looked at Facebook, and your wife posted that if you watch Jimmy Fallon at the very end tonight, you'll see Tyler give him a high five.
Yes, that's true. You won't see me high-five him tonight.
Hey, high-fives his dad. It's interesting.
What?
Because he referred to you as his dad. Keep up here, son. Let's go.
Oh, I get
Come
it.
On.
Yeah.
Come
Tyler.
On.
Jimmy Fallon has really soft hands, guys.
Wait, I want to bring up something here. You interrupted his monologue by yelling out.
Mm-hmm. No, he was not talking. He was bent over laughing already because he had fucked up his joke so much in the monologue. So he'd already broken, and he'd been laughing for like 2 seconds, and then I yelled out, "You can do it, Jimmy," and then he continued on with his routine.
How'd you get in trouble?
Lauren poked me in the ribs, and I said, "What?" And she pointed over to the side. There was a guy down by the production booth staring at me, making a no face and wagging his finger at me. And then I was very uncomfortable, and I never looked in his direction the rest of the night.
Little tie, all scared in the audience.
It's funny now, but it was very uncomfortable during.
Wow.
All right, let's talk about steroids for a minute, can we?
Mm-hmm.
I was very excited when I thought about it. This occurred to me earlier in the week, and I couldn't wait to talk to you guys, get your take on this. And once again, I meant to research it, but didn't have time. I was too busy purchasing Halloween decorations. But I'm a front runner, it turns out. I'm a little bit, despite their epic collapse that is currently occurring with the Pittsburgh Pirates, I'm watching baseball for the first time in like 15 years, probably 20, right? Because the Pirates are good for the first time in a long time, and that's my team.
The Pirates, they have their first winning record in 22 years, so like 19 years.
But they're falling by the wayside rapidly, and they're not disappointing me. But I've been listening to baseball is great to have on in the background while you're doing other things. It's really hard to focus on. But the whole concept of steroids has been a big issue again in baseball, and I have always thought it was a little bit absurd. I've always been, especially with baseball, it's like let them do as many roids. They're not hitting each other. Let them do as many roids as possible. I want to see. A sport, and Daniel Tosh even has a bit about this, but preceding Daniel Tosh's bit, I used to say, fuck it, who cares? They get paid to do something with their body that I can't do. Let's see what science can do with that as well. Let's see what the scientists can create out of human flesh.
Yeah, I guess you never watched The Hulk. But
with steroids.
Yeah, danger. Okay.
And I think it's absurd that people get so upset. What about the children? And it's a bad image for the children.
Let me just throw my argument
in. I'm going somewhere very different.
Okay, real fast. I don't think that's the way it should be thought of because there's people in the past that have already set records and set goals and done things that weren't on steroids. So it's not fair.
Okay.
It's not fair.
All right. Systems change. You know what I mean? System change. Equipment changes. Right.
I guess.
Catchers should have to wear the same pads that they wore back then.
You can't tell the legends of the game that,
well, they're dead, so
guess what? New rules now because we allow steroids.
Well, I brought this up on the show that I thought each person should have a DR. Each team should have a DR.
Oh, that's true. That's true, Ty. Everyone should have their one roided out guy.
The huge Hulk.
I think that they already do, and his name's Big Poppy on the Red Sox. His name's Big Poppy.
Big Poppy would be the worst roider ever.
All right, so then... You know, that with that in the back of my head, just being annoyed that people put so much time and energy into being just outraged that baseball players are using illegal injections and body female more hormones, whatever, body female. But then this occurred to me.
Wow.
Recently, they did a study where cops are starting to wear cameras on their bodies.
Yes.
And as a result, in one case study anyways, I don't want to like go out on a limb too far here, but one case study, apparently there is 60% decrease in excessive force because
and
of these cameras.
It was like an 80% decrease in reports of police excessive force.
Right.
Like it just plummeted.
As soon as everyone was watching, as soon as they had a camera on their body. You following Ty and Lauren?
Yeah. Yep.
Right at that moment, it occurred to me that, wait a minute, all this excessive force and all the weightlifting that you got to do, and you're out there on the street, you know, you got to use your body. These guys are probably roiding.
Why not?
And I don't hear anyone complaining or worrying about the fucking police force roiding up and fucking freaking out all the citizens. Yet they're going, hi, A-Rod can't put injections in his ass because my children might watch him hit a home run that's not legal. Fuck that!
But the fucking BART cops at Fruitvale Station can do whatever the fuck they want.
Roid it out! Now, there's a good chance that they do drug tests, and there's no roids in police cases and police brutality or police stations. I don't know. I haven't done any research, but
it seems like they would do drug tests.
I would think
that
there'd be a lot
do.
Of Roy and drug tests. I don't know. Do they do drug tests? Do they?
I don't know because most cops steal drugs from the evidence.
Wow, I don't know if we should say that.
Well, they do most, yeah.
Cops.
Mm-hmm. And they're all alcoholics, and they all drink and drive. But besides that.
Hey, if you're a cop, please email the After Disaster. How do you email? Or you can email me at AndersonCowan.com. Which, by the way, guys, I've said it plenty of times.
After@gmail.com.
I read all my emails. I'm just not good at replying to them.
Do you know
I do read them all.
Do you know I used to have some friends that were cops?
There was a shooting.
He was on roids.
Yeah. One block, again, that block where the pizza place is, mm-hmm. between there and our hotel. There was a shooting at 10 at like 9:45.
Hey, Mike, why is he talking to us like we know?
There was a guy wandering around in the streets, and they were trying to get him to stop. And then all of a sudden, he went to his reached into his jacket like he had guns, and the cops shot at him, and they all missed him, but they shot three bystanders.
You're talking about landmarks as though we live there. Is that pizza place? Did something happen last week with that pizza place?
The pizza place that I went to for Julian Jacobs' Vine.
Oh, well, I didn't follow that story.
Okay. It's a one-block radius. Right. The shooting happened at 9:45. They shot all the bystanders that were watching.
I don't think
all of them. I walked back to the hotel about 10, 15 minutes later. I would have had an awesome story for the After Disaster.
I don't think enough attention is paid to the fact that cops in major cities unload all of their guns on people and miss completely often. Like those two women in the delivering newspapers, they had, 130 shots fired, and they didn't even hit them at reasonably close range. They just both unloaded clip after clip after clip while a 70-year-old woman delivers newspapers, and they missed.
Speaking of gunfights, what about that episode of Breaking Bad?
Oh, stop it, stop it, stop it. Why are you doing that? I've already made reference to that show earlier on this program, and I realized that I probably shouldn't have done that. People don't want to hear about the Breaking Bad. You know what, though? Breaking Bad is ruining any chance that Dexter had of a solid ending. My God, it's just embarrassing. You know, you watch the Breaking Bad episode as it's coming to a conclusion, and then you go over and Dexter is also coming to a conclusion.
I hear Dexter is limping to the finish.
It's just embarrassing.
But Breaking Bad was spectacular, right?
Fucking unbelievable. Okay. Yeah. It's like ruining movies. It's like you go see a movie and you're like, yeah, it's good, but it's not Breaking Bad.
I think that's great. I'm glad they could keep it up.
It's so good.
Oh, my gosh. So good.
That's good. I never saw it.
I don't think Mike can handle it. I think it's too stressful.
I watched episode one of the first season, and it stressed me out so much I couldn't sleep, so I elected not to watch it again.
I elected.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Mike. Tyler, we have how many of these things have we done?
Way too many. How much did you spend on this stuff?
I don't know. Who cares? How many have we done?
I only bought three of these.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you buy them for the purpose of the After Disaster,
or did you buy them
for yourself?
I bought them because the girl that worked in there was kind of cute, and I thought, oh, I should just buy something at Michael's.
Okay, I don't like to admit that I listen to the program, but I do, and I was listening to one from about 2 months ago, and Mike was chiding both you and I, Ty, for every time anything about little ladies came up, we'd always like kind of implement Mike into the scene. Hey, wait a minute, Mike says. I don't want to be the guy that, like, every time anything about chicks comes up, I'm like the womanizer, or I'm the guy.
Yeah. But he is.
Hey, by the way, do I need to backpedal now and say I was completely kidding when I just said that? I bought them because I thought they were funny, and they were like $2, or $2.99.
And because the girl behind the register?
No, it's probably like a 60-year-old woman behind the register. And
Hey, if there's grass in the field, play ball.
I saw a girl at the gym the other day, and probably shouldn't admit this in case the missus is listening, but, I mean, she was goddamn near perfection. Very, very stunning, attractive, mm-hmm. younger girl. And
I didn't think she was a senior citizen near perfection.
What? Oh. Well,
you near perfection, 60-ish.
You never know. There's still some attractive ladies out
there.
Oh,
yeah, big time.
Martha Stewart.
Yep. I don't know about any more, but yeah.
Way better than Martha Stewart. And this girl, she's probably mid-20s, and she's at the gym, and she was not dressed scantily, but she looked like she was part Native American. Mm-hmm. She's just a really beautiful face. And
I speak my language.
Yeah. While I was there, it was one of those times where I dared myself because I had to get to the gym, but it was like 5 o'clock, 5:30. Rush hour for the gym. No, night. It took me 10 minutes to get in. That's what kind of line there was, just for them to scan the little card. It was horrible. It was awful.
In line.
So every single –
was anybody in line doing exercise?
No. There was a guy stretching. Mm. Getting a little calisthenics. Anyways, I counted four douchebags in my 30 minutes there. Four douchebags approached this girl.
Oh, no.
Yeah. What?
They talk to
sometimes,
her?
Sometimes, as a man, you just have to try.
You have to give it a shot?
I think you do. I don't have the balls to do it, but I think most guys do. Not most, but some. You know, sometimes as a man, you see some woman.
I should say three did after I did.
And there's such an attraction.
I'm joking. I'm kidding.
you learned me, and I like it.
I'm kidding. No, but yeah, it was kind of gross. Kind of gross, to be honest. Lauren, how do you deal with guys coming up to you?
Grosser when the fifth guy came up to approach Anderson was like, hey, leave her alone, man. Okay. She's trying to work out.
Hey, man, she's with me now.
I got to say, I don't think it's gross. I think it's just human nature. Like, you see something that's attractive and you need to put your penis in it.
Mm-hmm. Tyler, don't make those noises.
Gentlemen like
me. Don't like the noises.
No, I think it's just human nature. And I think some people handle it better than others. And I think some dudes just can't help their animalistic instincts is to go
give it a shot.
No, I mean that. I mean what I just said. You see, sometimes you see somebody that's so stunning, you can't help but go, I have to at least try to hit on that person.
The Iranian guy really missed out on meeting Mike.
I don't have the balls to be that guy that goes just hits on people. But it does gross me out too, but I think it's natural. I don't know why it grosses me out.
But you don't do it.
Probably because I'm jealous that I don't have the kind of balls to talk to girls.
Growing up in high school, I hung out with a kid named Gordon. He was like 3-4 years older than me, and he had a car. And he was nice.
Is he the police commissioner now?
Super smart guy, but like really over the top with the ladies and hideous to look at. Apparently, the girls found him just really, really ugly. He always had a hot girlfriend. Always had a hot girlfriend.
Was it just natural? Was he truly confident?
Before I knew him, I always noticed, hey, this little guy that's not really that attractive always has like a really pretty girl on his arm. And then I started hanging out with him, and I went to the beach with him a couple times. He talked to at least 30 girls in about a 2-3 hour period. Every girl that walked by, he'd go up to them and try and get their number. Every single one. No fear. None.
That's terrible.
In no way, shape, or form can I even relate to any of that at all. I swear to you, I'm not kidding at all when I tell you I am nervous talking to girls who approach me. I'm not at my age. I'm still nervous.
You know what cures all
that? Girl,
get married. You don't care. Once you get married, the game's over, and you're like got all the confidence in the world. It's a horrible, cruel joke that Tyler's God plays on us.
I'm not trying to hit on anybody. I'm just saying I'll never understand having confidence.
That's such a sad statement.
It's true, though. It's completely true.
Is this one done? Is that one done?
I don't think any of them are done.
They're all done. We just got to write our names on them.
Hey, I haven't done them yet. They're not done.
Hey, Ty, don't worry. We got plenty of wood to paint over here. Plenty of work.
Plenty of work. Can I paint the wood? Oh.
Tyler. All right, so I feel like the show's over.
A gay man hit on me in Hell's Kitchen.
Tell us more about
and
that.
Were you tempted?
He did not hit on him.
Oh, he hit on me. Oh. He hit on me.
What did he do?
He hit on me.
No. He asked me a question about the thrift shop we were standing in line for, and then as he was walking away, said, Tyler was cute, you should keep him. That is not hitting on Tyler.
Oh, he flirted with me.
It's kind of hitting on him, actually. if it went down. Oh, okay, I saw that post.
I didn't because JLC ruined everything.
I saw that post, and I wonder, that post was posted at a time that wasn't near opening or closing of any regular business.
What post?
I don't know what
the thrift shop opens in 20 minutes and there's a line.
They were reopening. They were closed for a day and a half. They were reopening at 5 o'clock.
Okay, okay, I see. I see. I thought it was weird hours, like, we opened.
They were all designer shows and, like, fancy.
Did you get anything?
What?
Did you get anything?
No, I couldn't afford anything.
So was it really a thrift shop? Or was it just like a Ross Dress for Less?
Like Barney's and Versace for like $50 instead of, you know, whatever, how much it costs.
Hey, have you gone to the Seinfeld Diner?
No.
Oh, you got to go there.
But we did go to a bakery tonight, and a sweet black guy with dreads ordered the black and white cookie, and I was like, the black and white cookie!
Ty, Lauren, how many, I know you've been to Staten Island, how many the what do you call them, the village, what are they called? Jesus Christ. Boroughs. How many other boroughs have you been to?
How many of the what?
Boroughs. There's five boroughs in New York.
Only the Bronx.
Well, you've been in the Bronx. You've been in Staten Island. That's a borough. And you've been to
Manhattan. There's a place in Tribeca where you can stand in three of them at one.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
no Queens, no Brooklyn? No Queens, no Brooklyn?
I don't know. Tribeca is
We've been to Tribeca.
Three boroughs are right there.
Have you been to Queens?
We've been to Tribeca and Greenwich Village, I guess.
That's not a borough. Have you been to where J-Lo represents? Queens.
I don't know where J-Lo's from. Is she from the Bronx?
She's from Queens, Tyler. J-Lo takes the 6. Come on, man. Have some New York in you. Let's go.
I've been on the 6.
See? Well, then you're on your way. All right. I feel like
I've been in J-Lo's town.
Have you guys had a chance to actually go to New York-style, actual New York restaurants, like those underground ones and stuff, and have some amazing food for very little money?
I've had, like, sushi in, like, tiny little underground places.
And was it great?
Yeah, it was amazing.
I'm looking up if cops do steroids. Will you please continue the conversation?
Do cops do steroids? I don't know. Cops on steroids? Of course.
Well, that's a good band name.
All kinds of people do steroids, I would assume.
Every color of the rainbow does steroids.
Mm-hmm. Except for, let's see. I like that it's a picture of a bunch of cops with their shirts off immediately, first thing. Clearly, they're doing
steroid testing coming to one of Texas police's force. Arlington police chief angry over steroid scandal. Police juice up on steroids to get edge on criminals. Steroid drug abuse by police linked to roid rage epidemic.
Can you punch in LAPD if they drug test?
Fuck. Are we upset about baseball players doing roid? How fucked are the what do you call it? Prerogatives. What do you call it?
Priorities.
Priorities. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with me? Really, where are our priorities?
This is where you're going to choose to make your argument?
Yeah.
This is ridiculous, because look at our other priorities. We have carpool lanes when there's 10 million other people.
I don't care. They're
gridlock
not
when there's an open lane for a bunch of fucking idiots and Priuses.
Talking about...
Fuck them.
I'm talking about, like, the right-wing conservative, mainly, like, the God-fearing Christians with their goddamn children saying, Big Poppy
everybody,
can't do steroids because
my
children. What about your kid next to a fucking cop with a gun?
Hey.
Who you pay? What's your tax money?
How much money do we waste trying to enforce pot laws when that pot's harmless?
Well, yeah, that's absolutely absurd.
I mean,
absurd.
There's a million more big arguments.
How many cops on steroids have bashed stoners' heads in?
Oh, I bet there's been a few.
Is it kind of ironic that I act like I'm on roids when I'm getting mad about roids?
We gotta stop this shit now!
Disqualified from LAPD. A dozen LAPD officers beat and tase college student over beer. And then there's a... the police were just doing their job, which apparently is taking steroids and participating in racist gang beatings.
Did you guys see that Onion on 9/11? The Onion posted a Subway coupon for a two towers deal for you get 2 footlongs for $9.11.
No.
The coupon had a guy flying at two subs that were stacked like the towers. And some guy took it to a Subway, and they accepted it.
No way. They accepted
that's true,
it?
Or is that urban legend?
So terrible.
They didn't accept it. They're such sticklers over it. The other day, I was buying two sandwiches. The wife doesn't like cheese on her. The wife likes cheese on hers. I don't like cheese on mine. So I said, yeah, instead of double cheese, we just – it's like an extra 50 cents. Big deal. But yeah. I don't like to waste money nor cheese.
Yeah.
So I said, will you just take the cheese on mine and put it on hers? Hold on. Let me go get the manager. Held up the entire line. I'm like, no, it's all right. Never mind. He's like, no, I got to go to make sure. I'm like, you could put it on mine. I'll just switch it over when we get home anyways.
So leave the top.
You can't,
the lid
really? You got to check with the manager? All right.
Yep.
what the fuck out of, you know, it's just that people are so goddamn worried, or they're on roids.
Yeah.
Let's pick a side, people.
I work with a lot of them.
All right, I feel like the show's over. I'm going to go push the button. Hey, Lauren, you're awfully quiet. Is she sleeping?
I'm tired.
Because
quite the endorsement of the program.
She's basically passed out.
Tyler, you're on the doorstep as well.
I had a very long night. I slept 3 hours and I had to work the 5 a.m. shift.
What is Lauren doing all day while you're working?
Shopping.
Lots of things.
Shopping. I made Krista cry the other day.
I made her do some laundry. There's free laundry at the hotel, so she did that.
I was in the gym.
Oh, wait, Krista's here. I just realized. I just saw her. Where'd she go? All right, I'm going to go push the
computer. All right, I miss you, Tyler.
I miss you too, Mike.
I'm glad you guys are having fun out there.
I haven't seen you in like 4 years.
I know. I'm kind of envious because I kind of wish I was in New York right now, mostly because I'm hungry.
We should all go to New York.
Should we just meet you?
No, we should. Why?
Yeah, come out.
So I guess we'll just pull it out of the After Disaster account, book some flights tonight.
Just come out tomorrow.
Get JetBlue on the horn. Why not?
Because I have to leave Friday afternoon. So
you're leaving this Friday? Hey, Tyler.
Hey, what?
I don't recall how your jury duty ended up.
No, we talked about it, didn't we?
I don't think we talked about it in detail.
I sent two guys to prison.
No, we didn't talk about it unless I wasn't here. Was I late or something?
Maybe. But yeah, we convicted two guys of attempted murder. Oh.
And was the stare down weird when they read the verdict?
It was horrible.
Did you think about it all the way home? Like, I wonder if there's someone in there that was making mental notes as to what I look like.
Well, I had to think about it all the way home because their gang territory is literally like a mile or two from where I live. And I drove through it every single day to the courthouse.
I don't like this.
That's fun.
God damn this.
I don't appreciate the kind of language.
Anderson, do you see what these markers? They don't sink in to the wood. They just...
That's not endorsing the product now. Tyler's wife's already not endorsed the program by falling asleep during it. No, they just stick on your hand a little bit. But I specifically asked a worker at this establishment where I bought them. I said, what do you buy? What kind of paint do you buy? What kind of pens? And she took me down the aisle and she pointed at these specifically and said, these work best. And I said, because our listener's going to have these, going to pass them down to their children. Their children might pass them down to their children. They got to last for generations. And she said, these are the pens for you. That's what you told me. I'd like a response from one of you fucks.
I was taking a picture of the blue ink on my hand.
So, yeah, these will be up the latest October 1st, and they'll be up for like 3 or 4 days, I guess. Can we get them up earlier than that? We'll get them up earlier than that. Maybe October 1st is when they'll be done by. So it'll give us time to, like, if we need to buy more, we can. Yeah? Huh?
Sure.
Oh, God damn you all.
I'm sorry I was late.
It's okay. It's early.
All right.
All right, you guys have a safe trip back.
Okay, I'll see you guys on Wednesday.
Cheerios.
Miss you, Ty-Ty. Lauren, I always miss you.
Bye. Miss you, too.
Bye, honey.
Bye. That was a weird way to say bye.
Oh, that was language. Shouldn't have that kind of bad language on the program. Nothing. Don't worry about it.
Which, I didn't say anything.
You did, though. It was your song. You're feeling ugly.
I see what you're saying.
So what do you got coming up this week? I'm going to a Christian carnival on Saturday if you'd like to come.
Where is it?
I don't want to give details.
In the valley?
Beyond. I travel. Oh, here's something that's
happening.
I might
want to go to that because I got a feeling it's going to be like a regular carnival just promoted by Christians, and I got a feeling it's not going to be Christians to show up. And if it is, it might even be better because I'll feel safer.
Church parking lot.
I'll feel safer.
It might be terrible. I'll tell you, it's kind of an affluent
city. That might be good. I'm going to Disneyland tomorrow, but I don't know what.
So the wife is in taking courses. She's in the master's program over at USC, right? Which I hate to admit because I'm not a USC fan at all, nor a UCLA fan, but I really despise USC.
Nor golf.
Now my wife is a Trojan. She's in the online program. So she's getting her MSW, which is her master's in social work, which is a field I couldn't care any less about.
Yeah.
I actually looked into social work when I was much younger, like 14, 15, because I knew I liked helping people. And then I learned quickly that it's all paperwork, and I'm like, I'm out. But now that the wife is in the program, by default, I too am in the program to an extent where I am reading things, helping write papers, learning about fucks that I don't want to learn about.
Forced learning. I don't like it.
Mm, yeah, so I feel like I should get an honorary degree, but I'm learning all sorts about the underprivileged out there and facilities they can use to help. Oh, she, you know what? She won't listen to this program at all anymore. She's too busy. I can say whatever I want.
Hmm.
I feel like a man unleashed.
There's a record of it, though. I don't know if I would say anything you want.
Yeah, that's true. You never know.
I didn't know there were places that would help people and help them. You know what I forgot to talk about tonight?
Hmm.
I got declined on my health insurance.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Why?
Because I said I was, I quit drinking and I was going to AA meetings.
And that's enough to decline you?
Absolutely.
Wow. So you got to go open
I called. Enrollment. I called and I explained I didn't have to quit drinking. I quit drinking. You're not in a rehab? No.
Wow. So if you didn't quit drinking, you'd probably be insured right now.
Absolutely.
So you got to go open enrollment, Obamacare, October 1st that starts. Probably better insurance and cheaper.
She told me I could reapply.
Oh, fuck her.
Yeah.
She's like, start drinking and reapply. Start drinking again and like, come on down.
Yeah, fuck Blue Shield.
Wow.
Seriously, I'm going to go buy a scooter now. I really am going to go buy a scooter.
Should have sent Green Shield or Red Shield just to protect us.
Red Shield. That sounds like a good one. That's like a tampon.
I'm sorry. This is the worst episode we've ever done. I apologize. It's Tyler's fault for being drunk in New York.
I didn't notice he was drunk. Lauren, a little bit.
When Tyler sounds like this, he's kind of drunk.
I don't like the fact that he interrupted Jimmy's monologue. And that's a no-no. Mm-hmm. We all know not to do that.
I did it.
Mm.
I interrupted.
Interesting.
And I was sitting with a comic. I told you this story. And I interrupted...
Apparently, I'm the only good audience member here.
We grew up in an improv. I interrupted Kramer, Michael Richards, right before his rampage. Like a month later, he was yelling the N-word.
You spurred it on.
I may have.
You planted the seed.
Gotta stop.
All right, good night, everyone.